What is a biblical definition of discipleship? And how can it effectively function in the local church? Are there any difficulties to discipleship? And what are some practical ways to overcome those difficulties? We're going to talk about all these issues today, right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Today is a big podcast week for us. We're doing a lot of recording because it's a big month. We've got family vacations. In 2 weeks, we're training pastors in the DR for some ministry and teaching them basically some of the principles you've been hearing here on the Five Gifts Podcast. Charles, I know I'm excited about that. How about you?
Absolutely, man. We're getting our bags packed, ready for vacation in a few days. And we'll get home on a late Saturday night, and then have to turn around Sunday and get ready to leave on Monday to go to the DR. And so, brushing up on my Spanish and looking forward to some rice and beans, con con, all that good stuff, man. I'm ready. And, oh yeah, and we're going to train some pastors too. That's the highlight, but. don't get me started talking about sweet plantains and anyway. So yeah, training pastors, that's definitely the highlight, and that's what we're looking forward to. It's shaping up to be a great summer for church formation for sure.
Well, I'm down for some mangoes, some tostones, and I'm all about some DR food.
Yeah, man, it's good stuff. I love it.
We're going to be in Monte Plata for 2 days with some pastors just northeast of Santo Domingo. So looking forward. That's a brand new network for us to tap into. And I look forward to chances to empower those guys. And then we're going to be moving northwest of there, going towards San Francisco de Macorís and doing some ministry there with some brand new pastors, as well as some old friends, and just continuing to see Jesus's kingdom extended in the DR.
Yeah, it's exciting. Every trip that we take, we see the Lord blessing that ministry there, and even more so, opening new doors, new opportunities. Like you said, a new network of pastors in a new region to begin to walk into, and so we're thrilled. We don't ask for much here on the podcast, but if you're a person who pray for us, pray for this trip, pray for God just to really multiply our influence and effectiveness in the lives of these pastors and the churches that we're going to be training. So we would greatly appreciate that. Well, Bruce, today we're talking about discipleship, and that word discipleship can stir up a number of ideas or thoughts or images of what it is, what it looks like, what it should be. And so we want to take this opportunity for this episode and just kind of drill in a little bit into kind of a, maybe even a biblical definition of discipleship, and maybe you can help us with that, Bruce. What would you say is a good working kind of biblical definition of discipleship?
Well, when I look to the scriptures to define discipleship, I lean heavily on what Jesus said about it. Jesus is the first disciple maker, and it's definitely something that, you know, he uses the terminology a lot. If anyone would come after me, take up his cross and follow me. There's one verse from Luke chapter 6 that stands out to me. I think it's in verse 40, where he says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." And just so from that alone, I see at least three characteristics that help us understand biblical discipleship. And the first is that it's transformational. And discipleship really is the means of learning and becoming to be more like Christ. There is a spiritual component that lies in each of us that is from Christ. It's his life in us through the new birth. And when I think about that, I know my daughter, Rachel, she has her mother's DNA. She has my DNA. In fact, she shares DNA with a lot of people from especially the Ritter side. I mean, she looks a little like me and a little like her mother. When she was born, she looked a lot like me, as you can probably tell. But I remember her senior pictures, she just all of a sudden just looked so much more like her mother. And that's because those traits, that DNA that's in my wife, that's in me, well, they're in her. And so that manifests in who she is. And her personality reflects both of us as well. Like, she and I are both introverts. And mm-hmm. I think I come out as an INFJ. Well, she comes out as an ISTJ. And so we share that introversion. But the majority of our personality has some really sharp differences. Well, what's funny is that those qualities that differentiate her on her personality profile, that she shares those with my wife. Now, my wife is extremely extroverted, but my daughter, she shares that critical thinking. She's more of a thinker than a feeler. And so she's very analytical, just like her mom. Well, that makes sense because she has our DNA. She's learned life from us. And so Christ's life in us happens because of the new birth. We have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He dwells in us. So, Paul, the apostle, who I think is outside of Jesus, he's like the primo disciple maker of the New Testament. And, he writes to the Galatians. He says to them, Galatians 4:19, he says, "My little children, I'm laboring in birth again." This is the anguish, the hard work that goes into you being fully formed in Christ. And he says, I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That really is the work of discipleship. Mm-hmm. And I love Dallas Willard, the late Dallas Willard, who gave so much to the body of Christ and our understanding of spiritual formation. And he said that spiritual formation is essentially the process of the Holy Spirit building the inner world of a person so that it becomes like the inner being of Christ. And so we don't just look like Jesus. We're not just doing the things that Jesus did as though there were some copycat or clone. There really is that inner world of Jesus being formed in us. So when Jesus says a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher, that's that transformational component. Now, another component is that it's relational. And again, we continue to sound this theme in the Five Gifts podcast, but ministry is relational. Discipleship is absolutely relational. And so where Jesus is using the teacher-disciple model, which is a common model, it was kind of ingrained in New Testament Judaism, the idea that rabbis had handpicked followers, people that they brought into their teaching of the law, kind of the way a mentor protege. That really does embody that teacher disciple role. And Jesus used that in developing not only the 12, but other disciples, the 70, the 120. There were many other disciples that followed Jesus in that same kind of relationship, that mentor protege, teacher student relationship. But discipleship can happen peer to peer. It can happen, between friends, like we might call a spiritual friendship. And, I would even say, parents, your job as a parent to child, is a discipleship role. It has that relational character that helps not only inform a person, but helps them become more and more like Christ. And discipleship identifies this foundational relationship in all of Christianity. It is one of one person helping another not only receive the claims of Christ, but experience a spiritual transformation within that relationship. It really is kind of a relational developmental process. And then thirdly, it's generational. In other words, discipleship creates discipleship. A perfectly trained disciple, Jesus says, is basically doing what his or her teacher does. They're actively participating in the spiritual formation within another person. So that transformed disciple subsequently builds a relationship with another believer and delivers that the claims of Christ in the same manner. It's that ongoing generational developing of new believers that create spiritual formation. So believers experience transformation one disciple at a time. That really is the mandate of the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. Go and make disciples. Teach them to observe the things that I commanded you. And really, you know, it's been said before, but a disciple is not really a disciple until they're making other disciples. Yeah. And I think that's absolutely essential, you know, for the local church. So, Charles, if discipleship is Jesus's mandate for the local church, then his body, the body of Christ, then what is discipleship in the body of Christ?
Well, I think it's important. Maybe we kind of look at it in two parts. First, let's talk about the element of systems of discipleship, and then maybe we can kind of follow that up with a little theology. So in regards to systems of discipleship, we need a system of discipleship in the local church. And so the discipleship system in the church compares with the muscular system of the human body. So, you know, we all have muscles in our body and they serve a purpose. The muscular system consists of like ligaments, tendons. These kind of things provide connection, provide flexibility, strength, and mobility within the body, and in turn, as we're talking about in the local church. So when you think about discipleship, the discipleship ministry in the local church will connect. It connects people. It promotes spiritual growth. It establishes strength in the local body, in the local church. It provides that local church mobility and flexibility. And ultimately, what the discipleship system allows the church to do is to complete the vision, mission of Christ in his church. And so we want to work, and we can talk about a little more in depth about systems, but just, you know, what does discipleship look like in the church? Well, if there's a system there, this is what a discipleship system can, maybe should look like, and the result of this kind of a system functioning would be that is the church is strengthened, it's flexible, and it's capable now of completing the vision and mission of Christ in his church. In regards to a little theology here, again, like you said, we're sounding the alarm. We're going to keep ringing the bell here. Relationships serve as a bridge upon which the ministry of Christ advances. And so this serves as a critical tenet of theology for the discipleship system. Discipleship removed from relationship just doesn't happen. It's just not sustainable, and it's certainly not effective. And so relationships are the bridge. It is a bridge upon which the ministry of Christ advances. When we think about discipleship also, the discipleship process is used by Jesus. It stands as the supreme model of discipleship in Mark chapter 8, Philippians chapter 2, some great examples of talking about of seeing the process and the system by which Jesus discipled. A third tenet of theology would be that Christ's vision and mission of the church, detailed in the Great Commandment and then also in the Great Commission, it sets the kind of the sequential developmental pattern and pathway of discipleship for the local church. So we can look to the Great Commandment, we can look to the Great Commission and begin to see kind of the pattern, the process of how the pathway of discipleship for the local church. So that's a little bit of kind of a cursory look at systems and theology. So, Bruce, that would kind of lead us into talking about some difficulties and maybe in some divine urgencies. What does that look like in discipleship in the local church as far as difficulties are concerned?
Yeah, the whole mandate for followers of Christ is making disciples. And, you know, Charles, it's interesting that, as we've talked about before, when the New Testament was being written, most of the epistles were written actually before the book of Acts was chronicled.
Mm-hmm.
And so discipleship was gospel terminology. It was Jesus's terminology. And as the early church was advancing, ministries like the Apostle Paul and the apostles are taking the gospel out, establishing churches. You know, in the epistles, there's a marked difference in terminology. Discipleship is talked about, but it's talked about a lot more descriptively. And so I think it's important to understand this, that, you know, as Pauline theology was developing, I don't think Paul was trying to develop Pauline theology. I think that's what we put on it. But as he's trying to convey to churches, this is who we are, this is what we do. It was so built on relationships. It was the concept of spiritual parenting. Even the word training, it's interesting, the word training in the New Testament, paideon, it literally means parenting, the way a parent trains up a child. And so the whole concept of a person's growth in Christ is like a supervised, mentored, there's oversight, there's support for that. And, you know, when I think about, you mentioned relationships are like a bridge in which the ministry of Christ advances. Well, that's what spiritual leadership does. That's what the five gifts do in Ephesians 4. That whole idea that we are equipping the saints, we're training them, we're preparing them, sometimes we're repairing them for the works of Christ. As poetic language of Ephesians, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the mandate. That's the call of the church. But the truth is, you mentioned difficulties and some of the divine urgencies. The difficulty is clear. Christianity doesn't keep its converts many times.
Yeah.
I hate to put a percentage on it, but it's higher than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That a person's life is not really developed in Christ. That we're good at producing decisions. In fact, the church may be better than ever at getting people in the doors,
yeah.
But to experience, you got to wonder, what are we experiencing? What are people experiencing when they encounter the church? Is it a transformational community?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something less than that? Because if it's something less than that, then it's really missing the point of discipleship. I know, I'm beginning to sound like a downer. In fact, I'm feeling discouraged myself to talk about that. This is just an area that I'm particularly passionate about, and so it pains me to think that the life of Christ, that someone could encounter the life of Christ, and yet there's not a relational structure to nurture that. So, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's one of the difficulties. Sometimes there's an overemphasis on conversion results rather mm-hmm. than maturity, where the church can often resemble the orphanage, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're bringing all kinds of infants in, but we're not really developing and helping them grow up and begin to integrate into a culture and a society where Jesus's life can be released in them rather than just contained in them. And I think sometimes most attempt discipleship by utilizing just part of the biblical process rather than considering there's all the ingredients like goes into a great recipe. You know, we tend to think that discipleship is kind of lecture student. You know, we just sit people down in a classroom and just pump information into them. There's much more involved in that. Like a great recipe needs not only the ingredients, but the process. I think I just got a Blackstone grill, and grilling hamburgers on that thing is a lot different than your traditional grill. And so I'm learning that. And so just as there's a more to a recipe than just the ingredients, there really is that entire process. And so sometimes discipleship is not only lacking some ingredients, it's lacking texture, it's lacking media, it's lacking the whole holistic part of the process. I think discipleship has to include those God encounters, those experiential encounters. In fact, I believe it was Willow Creek several years ago that said they did a self-study of their discipleship program, and the big finding was that they said we don't have enough encounter in our discipleship process. That's a huge admission. And so it's also informative for us that we cannot avoid including in discipleship those experiential moments, those moments in prayer, those moments in the presence of God, those moments taking people on a mission trip and help them learn what it means to be a servant in a different culture. But you know, creating those God encounters, the relational accountability, we've said so much about relationship, but relational accountability, because it can build trust, then it opens up the possibility for that essential component of accountability. Again, knowledge of the scriptures. You know, I think that's important to remember that we're teaching people more than just, you know, life skills. We need to teach them the foundations of the scripture, so that's obviously important. And then I would also say those strong commitments to God. What does that look like as a disciple? It's there, right? Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus uses the language that, you know, the person that loves his parents more than they love him, if they don't, you know, by equivalent hate them and compared to their love for Christ, then they're not worthy of him. So there's a strong commitment to discipleship, and you have to get there to really make fully formed disciples of Christ. And, you know, I think one of the things that happens in churches a lot of times is we lean into program ministry rather than thinking strategically about discipleship. Now, I will say there are some great programs that help in discipleship. Like I would say some of the Wednesday evening ministries at our church for children are powerfully, powerfully effective in creating discipleship in younger generations. But just because you have a program doesn't mean you have discipleship. And so you really need to think discerningly and strategically about those programs that you establish in your church. I think if we want to think about where does that leave us? What are some of the urgencies? How can we define what's missing in the church? Well, I think the obvious result is that when there's weak discipleship, then believers remain immature. They remain inadequate to complete Christ's work, both in the church and the world. You know, we just did an episode on ministries, and we talked about how if we're not effective at bringing people into their ministry gifts in a way of releasing the life of Christ in them, then the church has got a weak system, and the discipleship system of the church is weak if believers remain in immaturity and they're not really doing the work of the ministry. Also, you know, when churches tend to be sporadic and spontaneous rather than systematic, then, you know, you get the random teachings here and there, hit and miss, rather than a systematic approach to teaching people what discipleship looks like. And so you might think of it the way either random teachings and those maybe even random spiritual experiences where there's no sequence there. There's no strategic use of prayer. There's no strategic use of even some of the graces like communion or water baptism, when those things are sporadic, you know, they tend to produce disciples that are both weak and not fully formed. And so, you know, Charles, those are some things that, you know, concern me as I look at the church. But there's obviously a better way to think about it. There's a better way to implement it. What do you see as being vital to that process of creating a more systematic, fruitful discipleship ministry?
Well, fundamental to our conversation today regarding discipleship is that Bruce, you and I think we would both agree that discipleship advances in a developmental process. First of all, it's a developmental process. It's kind of a step by step, one, you know, right foot, left foot, one after the other. And this process is really kind of exists on two levels of intensity, kind of the entrance level and then an advanced level of discipleship. But I think it's important to make those distinctions because we can get really excited about discipleship and we should be excited about discipleship. You know, I've heard in pastoral ministry, some would, and we all have our different elements, different things that we're passionate about. And those who are passionate about discipleship would come and say, well, you know, we need to get the whole church in discipleship, and everything about this church needs to be discipleship. And you have to help people understand that yes, you want to affirm their passion in that, because discipleship is extremely important. But we have to also understand and realize it's not just if we can get it the whole church through this one program or through this one book or through this one curriculum, you know, everyone's discipled then. It advances in a developmental process. And so we want people to be engaged in discipleship, listen, for a lifetime, because it's incremental, it's step by step, and the things you've talked about being relational, we want people engaged through relational discipleship, incrementally, developmentally, step by step, over their lifetime, and in that process of discipleship, we want to help people kind of encounter these two different levels of intensity. We want to bring people into discipleship on an entrance level rather than an advanced level. Sometimes we get so excited because we know what discipleship's done for our lives. We want everyone to experience. We just want to take the whole church and throw them into the deep end of the pool, you know, and say, all right, we're going to swim. When sometimes, or I think oftentimes, it's much better to help, especially with new converts or people that may have been in the faith but haven't really encountered discipleship in a systematic approach, help these kind of believers access discipleship with like that kind of the beach entrance into a pool. You know, it's just gradual. It starts shallow, and as you walk further into the pool, it just gradually gets deeper and deeper. And so that, I think that's the kind of, when I'm talking about two levels of intensity, I don't want to create kind of a dichotomy in discipleship, but rather a gradual approach where we move from one level of intensity and it gradually intensifies into the second level of advanced discipleship. And so I don't know, is that clear, or do you need to add anything to help me out on that one, Bruce? Any thoughts that you could add to that maybe?
No, I think you touched on something that's important, that we don't bring in every disciple into the same levels. We need to think in tiers, and I think a good starting point are those two levels, that there's an entrance level, and then there's an advanced level. But by all means, be strategic. Think about what you're teaching. The question I like to think of is at our church is, what should a fully formed follower of Christ look like, you know, when they come through CLA? Mm-hmm. And so that's not going to always take people from the same place to the same destination. You have to think about where people are. Just like when you share your faith, not everyone is at the ready point of saying, what must I do to be saved? You have people that are, you know, much further from Christ. And so people are like that in discipleship. And so thinking about where they are, I think that two-tiered approach is really helpful.
All right, good. Well, then let's talk about some just practical, measurable kind of things we can do as we're forming up this discipleship system, this two-tiered approach, two levels of intensity with entrance and advanced level. As you're beginning to form up this, as you're looking at the whole of the church, here's another percentage, another number we want to give you. You want to recruit and enroll 40% of the congregation at the next level of advancement into some form of discipleship. And so I'm going to do the hard math here. Let's say you're a church of 75 and you feel like with God's help, you know, we can grow to a church of 100. So at your current state of 75 and, you know, and weekly attendance, you want to grow to 100. So you're going to begin to say, all right, I need to recruit and enroll about 40 people, 40% of the congregation into some kind of discipleship. Again, you're thinking about what does a fully formed disciple look like in your local church body. And you're beginning to make kind of fill out the steps in this pathway of from entrance level into an advanced level kind of form of discipleship. But you want to get about, again, we're using the example of growing to a church of 100 people, 40%, that would be 40 people that you want involved in discipleship. And so you might be scratching your head thinking, are you serious? Where am I going to get 40 people from? How am I going to get 40% of the congregation involved in and engaged in discipleship? And so I would just go back to think about our episodes that we did on leadership. In one of those episodes, we gave a number that says, you know, at the next level, you want to recruit and engage 10% of your congregation in leadership. And then last week we talked about, so you want 10% of the church as leaders in the church. And so last week in the ministry episode, we talked about having 30% of the congregation in volunteering, doing the ministry tasks of the church. And so it's not, we're not saying, all right, go get a whole nother 40%, another group of 40, to find them in your church, but what about now you've recruited, you're training, you're developing the leaders, that 10% leadership of the church, and now the 30% workers, the ministers doing ministry tasks in the church. There's your 40%. Now begin to in their development and in their training, begin to establish discipleship. And so what kind of things would I include in discipling this 40%, kind of the core infrastructure of the congregation? You want to allow the four missional quadrants to form the pattern of discipleship. I don't know if we've used that term missional quadrants yet on the podcast. And so what we would mean by that is thinking about the spiritual life of the church. That will be a missional quadrant, the spiritual life of the church. A second quadrant would be the spiritual community, the relational, the human human to human, peer to peer, things like that Bruce has talked about. That will be a second missional quadrant in the church. A third missional quadrant would be ministry, and so we've devoted the past couple, this episode and previous to discipleship and ministries. Those the, those kind of things, those systems would be in this ministry quadrant. And then you've got the fourth missional quadrant that we would be referring to would be outreach. So things like evangelism, that would be a big part of the outreach quadrant. And so you're going to allow the curriculum of your discipleship system to really reflect those four missional quadrants. You're going to help people build a relationship with Jesus. You're going to help teach them in discipleship how to build a relationship with one another. You're going to help in the third quadrant. You're going to help people build their ministry skills, develop their ministry skills. And in that quadrant four with evangelism, you're going to help people to grow in their ability to develop relationships with the community, with the culture and the world, to bring them into a faith relationship, to bring them into the family and kingdom of God. And so you're going to allow these missional quadrants to form the pattern of discipleship. So as you're thinking about what does a fully developed disciple look like, you're going to lead them through the kind of this lens of these four missional quadrants. And then you want to identify an entrance level into this kind of discipleship, and then begin to think about, all right, well, once someone's maybe gone through the cycle of entrance level, let's begin to kind of increase the intensity into more of an advanced level of discipleship. In the discipleship process, you want to include things like God encounters. And Bruce, you talked about this earlier, but you want to, this is not just a static, sterile environment where it's just a lecture and note taking, but we want this process to be dynamic. So we want there to be God encounters, real time, live action, you know, kind of thing, where people are actually encountering God. We want there to be relational accountability. You're building these components in your discipleship process where there's accountability one to the other, where we're learning scripture. We're also in the fourth piece of this process would be those, like Bruce talked about, those action commitments to God. So you know, I know that's kind of a lot to digest and process and think through, but you know, hit pause and stop and work through these kind of measurable behaviors that you can, because if you begin to implement these things, what I believe, I'm convinced that what you'll begin to see is discipleship being lifted, and you will see now maybe where there has been some obstacles and some hindrances to completing the vision and mission of Christ in your local church. I think discipleship's going to unlock, and it's going to remove some of those hindrances to opening up some new pathways for vision fulfillment. And then last thing would just be to align existing and future classes with the quadrant vision mission patterns. Again, we talked about some curriculum, but now as you're thinking about what are some of the classes and what are some of the groups and gatherings that we're going to have for discipleship, begin to organize them and to align them with that same quadrant, missional quadrant vision mission pattern. So again, it's not exhaustive, but I think it's a great start to helping to form up the discipleship system in the church. Well, Bruce, that's all I can say. That's all I know. I don't know anything else to say about discipleship.
Charles, you opened up the fire hydrant for us to drink from today.
well. Usually I'm starting fires and not putting them out. So.
No, I just want to say when we talk about discipleship, if I could bottom line this for us, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but discipleship is doing what we can to help cultivate and bring forth that emerging life of Jesus in every believer. Mm-hmm. That's what lies in a born again person's life. That's the potential. and coming out in that expression of those gifts, those things that the Holy Spirit has built into a person's life that he's giving, imparting. Mm-hmm. And just, I think it's just, it is hard work. I mean, the people work in the church is the hardest work. It's much easier. Yeah. It's much easier to put together a worship set. It's much easier to plan communion.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to bring together your advertising campaign
mm-hmm.
than it is to work with people.
Yeah.
But that is where the real kingdom grows. That's where the real life of Jesus just begins to move dynamically in the local church. It's through the people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a thought that I often have when I think about discipleship in the local church is, you know, it's exciting. As a father of two daughters, man, it was so exciting for my wife and I when we had those girls, and we held them and we loved them and we showed them off to family that would come and visit, and we would go. We were just so excited. But what we didn't do was leave those girls at the hospital. We said, God, thank you for these gifts. Thank you that you've added these two beautiful girls to our family. And with that thanks and praise, we didn't just leave them at the hospital. We actually gathered them in our arms and we took them home, and we began the process of raising these precious gifts that God had blessed us with. And so now 19 and 15 year old girls are different than newborns in the hospital. And it is hard work, but I'm telling you, it is so worth it. And so when I think about discipleship, I think for a lot of churches, we enjoy the excitement and the experience of new birth, of salvation. Just to piggyback off what you said earlier in the episode, that's an exciting time, but we would not dare. We would not entertain the thought of leaving our human children in the hospital. No, we're going to take them home. Mm-hmm. But for the local church that intentionally that leaves out a system of discipleship, what we're doing is saying, thank you, God, for these precious gifts that you've blessed us with. Thank you for these new salvations. Thank you for these new men and women and boys and girls that have walked into the family of God. But Lord, but we leave them here, and Lord, you raise them. Or some, we're not going to take the responsibility of raising them. And like you said, the church loses a huge amount of people that are saved in and through the church ministries are lost because we've not connected discipleship to the ministry systems. That's kind of my, I agree totally with what you're saying. Just the thought that I typically have when I think about discipleship. So all that to say, listen, praise God when he gives you new life, but don't leave the baby at the hospital. Take that baby home and raise that baby in new life in Christ.
Charles, that's fantastic. I feel like we've done two of the hardest podcasts these last two episodes, because they've dealt with that element of the church that must work with people. It must do the hard work. It's not enough. It's not enough just to see life happen. It has to be cultivated. You have to spend time with it. And so I'm excited to leave this with our listeners today. We're so grateful that you've been able to join us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Always remember that we're here for you. If we can resource you in any way, if we can help you in any way, please leave a question or comment in the comment section below. You can also email us. But please remember to like, follow, subscribe, and share. You can also reach out to us for further information. You can reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com or charlesrusselltraining.com. Both of those websites are in place. One, obviously, for the local church. Others for, you know, outside, maybe in the marketplace. You can also reach me at coachingcardia.com. I have coaching service available for anyone that is going through transition, transformation, change in life, going from one season of life to another. Also for spiritual formation, leadership coaching, that's available for you. But we look forward to seeing you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast. And Charles and I are going to be in the Dominican Republic, but you're going to see content uploaded and ready for your viewing. Please take advantage of it. And we look forward to seeing you the next time on the Five Gifts podcast.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.